I think media by itself, I think we sometimes, even we in media, put too much or have too much expectations on what media can do, and we don't realize that media also has limitations. Well, you have to understand a few things about the media in the Arab world. And satellite media, by its nature, is seen by a lot of people. It's the major satellite stations like Al Jazeera and Arabia are watched on a pan-Arab basis. So their programming, their news, their current affairs programming tends to cover problems and conflicts throughout the Arab world. Now, it so happens that Palestine takes a huge chunk of that, and so. In a way, Palestine, the satellite stations become a local station when it comes to Palestine. So this is a kind of a unique situation. But when you have a station like satellite stations, which broadcasts a lot of, regional news and regional programming, there is a vacuum left for local programming. So if if there's a local crime in your town, or if there's, the water is not coming to your house, Al Jazeera television is rarely going to do it unless, you can show the settlers, cut off the water and there's a kind of an Israeli angle to it. But if it's a local, local problem, it's not going to be covered by a national or pan-Arab station. So that leaves a small window for local media. And I believe that in Palestine, local radio is doing better than local television. One station the other day was telling us that advertising spots on radio, the radio stations charge more money than spots on local television. The reason is that while local television is fiercely competitive, you have hundreds of stations competing with television, local stations, terrestrial stations, a local radio station doesn't have as much competition. And there is also a fact that is quite important for radio, which is the question of time. So something is happening in the middle of the day, you're not going to go home and watch television. You open the car radio, or now most people listen to radio on their cell phone. So radio during the day for breaking news is quite more efficient than television, and is actually used for that. People turn on the radio once they hear, or they want to know, or if they want to travel someplace, they're not sure if it's under curfew or if there's closure. So the radio becomes local. In my project, Ammanat, it's in Jordan, not in Palestine, and in there, the success of a local radio is even much more clear, because whereas some satellite stations might give 60% of a newscast to a story on Palestine, a country like Jordan gets 5% of satellite on the satellite station. So there is a much bigger hunger for a media outlet that covers local news and local programming and the issues dealing with the local community. Now, there are other problems facing the possibility of the viability of the station. For example, the broadcasting laws are very much in Jordan geared to entertainment stations. They give them cheaper rates, and they have less restrictions on them than if you wanted to do news. You pay 50% more licensee for doing news and politics for the radio station. So these are government-imposed restrictions that make the economic viability a bit more difficult. But there is clearly a gap, a need, a vacuum for local stations throughout the Arab world, including Jordan, and maybe it's a little bit slightly less in Palestine, but most of the Arab countries suffer in the fact that the local stations are owned by government, local TV is owned by the government, so there's only state news or state protocol news on that. The satellite stations only cover, you know, country like, I don't know, Algeria or Egypt or Syria, only when there's a big violent or big newsy event. But day to day, those people have no other platform. And so that's why you see a proliferation of websites, of news websites, of attempts to try to use existing private radio stations to start kind of sneaking in information on those stations. People are now developing certain projects to use SMS messaging to get news into people's, you know, cell phone. So people are trying to bypass the restrictions of government and the lack of interest, daily interest of satellite stations by using alternative media landscape, media outlets. I think the existing network of stations is highly underused. I think there's a lot of opportunities that already exist in terrestrial local radio stations. There's also two networks that actually combine about each seven or eight local stations in a network. And there's an attempt by the Palestine network to create, and also the MAN network to create some kind of association where news is exchanged and then packaged and then resent back to the participating stations. I know that PNN is doing this now. MAN has not done it yet, but so, you know, while I applaud and support the idea of podcasting, and that could be certainly what I would say added value. You can always have that. My concern and my recommendation would be that you work with the existing outlets and try to get them to pick up a particular news network program, and then, you know, the podcasting would be just an added value to do that in extra. The key then is not really the outlet as much as the content of the news programs, who's going to pay for it, and the different delivery mechanisms, whether you want to use telephones or fiber optic or satellite upload from a hub, and then have other local stations download from the satellite. These are some of the challenges that I would suggest. And certainly the content. You know, once you choose if you want to do a human rights program, how you want to do human rights, you know, you don't want it to be too didactic, you don't want to be teaching human rights as a kind of an school setting, but you want to use human rights issues as your segue to talk about, you know, to use the news, to do current affairs issues as your segue to talk about human rights. So, you know, you do a story about labor rights and there's a strike of, you know, university teachers, for example, today, and you use that story as your segue to talk about the right to strike and the right to create unions and so on. So that becomes the peg for your human rights advocacy, is by hitchhiking or by connecting to on the bandwagon of a regular news podcast. So I would support something like that. I think it could work if it's done right, but it has to have a very strong and news formatting so that people would listen to it. There is already a very vibrant opportunity for independent media already. So the independent radio stations, independent newspapers, independent television are able to do whatever they want to a large extent. It's very ironic that the one time that all kinds of alternative media, online media, was actually used or maybe abused was when the Fatah and Hamas were fighting against each other, and they still are. The worst kind of one-sided, biased reporting, showing films, showing videos, using the media to kind of advocate a particular line. They use all the alternative media outlets to do that. But for independent news, they haven't had to do that because, as I said, there is some local media already that's independent. There is local newspapers, there is local websites that are reasonable and credible. And so the passion that Egyptians have for getting information out, getting human rights issues out, doesn't really exist in Palestine because we don't have that need. This is what drives people to use these alternative media. Here, if you have a very strong agenda or... I mean, I'll give you an example. Every day in the local newspaper, every day of the week, Monday through Sunday or whatever, there is a supplement that is printed by a local group on various issues, whether it's from women's issues, children's issues, human rights issues, democracy issues, anti-corruption issues. So different NGOs have created their own outlet, which they create their own weekly edition, and it comes out as a supplement to Al Ayyam, especially Al Ayyam. So they go to this newspaper, they print it there, they call it, they do the editing there, they bring their information, their reporting, and so on. And the newspaper prints it as a supplement to its own newspaper. And it's become a big business, if you will. Every day of the week, there is at least one or two supplements being distributed with the local papers. So that just shows that the media scene is vibrant, that the independent media can exist. And so while people do work, on kind of a website to document for a long time and to archive their material, the website is not as crucial. For example, we were in Jordan when we created AmanNet, it was the first internet radio that actually broke the monopoly of the government on radio stations. Here, in Palestine, there's already anybody almost can create a radio station, so there's no monopoly, no governmental monopoly. So I think you're applying good remedy to the wrong areas. If you want my opinion for Palestine, and if you want to do something in media for Palestine in human rights areas, I would come right to the existing MAN network, and they have a set of 9 stations, or I would go to the radio network, or I would find one of the international Arab satellite stations and try to convince them to show, to co-produce a program on the issues that are of interest to you. That's how I would do it. So, if you're doing in Egypt, then for sure, podcasting, in Jordan now we're doing vlogging, video blogging. You could do a lot of these things in countries where the restrictions and censorship and self-censorship are very high. And again, another problem we have in Palestine is that there is obsession, and I say it in a good way, not in a bad way, or maybe partly bad, obsession in doing all the media just to deal with the occupation. And it's kind of understood because, the occupation is an essential problem that every Palestinian faces. But because of this extreme focus on occupation, media outlets are not paying enough attention to local internal Palestinian issues. Somehow the public doesn't have a lot of interest in local issues because they are so focused on the news having to do with Israel. So that's another area that if you wanted to look on the Palestinian scene, is to try to find news that has nothing to do with Israel, and see if you could do a whole program that doesn't deal with Israel, doesn't deal with occupation, but deals with, healthcare issues in Ramallah or in the village, and what can be done to improve public health or whatever. So, there are things that can be done, but I don't think in Palestine there is a lack of platforms, the media platforms. And you're right, that if the Palestinian media was very robust in dealing with issues of corruption and mismanagement of funds and so on, for example, one idea we had was to put a lot more attention on nonviolence news. So very few people in the West know what's happening in the nonviolent struggle. So to put much more effort in packaging, in producing video press releases, disseminating this, could go a long way in helping improve the Western understanding. I know there's a couple of organizations in the States that is working in this area, working with professional journalists, trying to get them, the news in a professional, accurate, and balanced way, and that's that's good. So there is a lot of public effort has been done, can be done. Yes, I mean, that's something we can do. I once, for example, came up with an idea for the people from the Sabil organization. I don't know if you know about Sabil. And it's a Palestinian Christian Liberation and Theology organization. They talk about how Palestinian Christians should have a much bigger role in talking to their fellow Christians about the injustice of the Palestinians. And I said to them, why don't you try to create a weekly 5-minute radio program that you record every week, and then you try to get as many as 100 or 200 radio stations to take your radio talk and to include it as part of their regular programming. So that people start hearing voices, you call for voices from the Holy Land or something like that. And so you start giving voice to people from the Holy Land. This could be one way of, bringing across to the States. But, the media, the mainstream media is a very, very hard nut to crack. It's very difficult to get them to be much more involved in broadcasting and writing about issues dealing with the Palestinians. And I think that's a kind of more of an advocacy issue than a journalism issue. That's fine. I have an idea for you if you're looking for ideas.
We love ideas.
One area that has been badly under-reported is the city of Jerusalem, the eastern part of Jerusalem. East Jerusalem is kind of falling in the cracks because Israeli media covers the Palestinian and Israeli issue. The Palestinian media is mostly based in Ramallah and Gaza, and they cover the Palestinian point of view. And somehow East Jerusalem has kind of been lost. There isn't often that many of the Palestinian journalists cannot get to Jerusalem. The Israeli journalists don't care about Jerusalem. And there is no local TV station in Jerusalem. And so it kind of gets lost. I've been trying to raise money to do a weekly program called This Week from East Jerusalem, or something like that. And to even get that on some of the Arab television stations, because I think there's a real gap in information about Jerusalem that is not just to deal with the occupation, but also to deal with the life of people and economic issues, social issues, education issues, even culture and sports. And Jerusalem has been called by UNESCO the capital of cultural capital of the Arab world in 2009. So there's going to be a lot of cultural activities in Jerusalem. And there is a lot of data, a lot of content that can be made and packaged out of Jerusalem. So this could be one area that I think there's a under-reporting, both in the Arab media and in Western media about, the lives of 200,000 people that live in East Jerusalem. So this could be if you wanted to you know, to focus on a particular area or particular geographical part, Jerusalem could be a good one. And then you could find even local Palestinian radio and TV stations that can be seen or heard in Jerusalem, and you know, contact them to also, you know, broadcast the program, or even some of the major satellite stations. You know, Jerusalem is very kind of attractive, so they might be interested in a program about Jerusalem. Again, if you wanted to do television, you know, I've always wanted to do a kind of a reality show, but in a news way, of following, you know, three or four people in Jerusalem, normal, average people, so you kind of humanize the Palestinians. And I remember, like, 10, 20 years ago, there was a program from Sarajevo called A Street in Sarajevo, or maybe 10 years ago, when they had the big problem. And they had every day, like, 5 minutes of reporting of that, you know, from Sarajevo, but they basically chose a few characters that they followed every day. And we basically solved problems through the lives of ordinary people. So, you know, again, this is, you know, kind of a little bit outside of the news, it's more in television, but to almost like a documentary, or if you can get, you know, major, like, you know, I don't know, BBS or some of the European stations, to do, to follow one or two or three people and just use their lives as your way to tell the story.